Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of No Small Roles, a D&D podcast where there are no small roles and no satisfaction in Sallow 16.
I can't get no.
And enough of that, we don't have the rights.
But I do feel very inspired.
I'm David Knight, your Dungeon Master, and I'm joined by the Frustrated Five. So say hi, everyone. You're going to be fine. But whilst you are all huffing and puffing and kicking rocks.
You said that right before you killed us.
I did.
He didn't, actually.
Some of us didn't die.
He did. He said, you're going to be fine. And then me and Chris died.
Oh, right. Okay, cool.
Then
before he killed me, he said, I'm going to kill one of you today.
And I did. Yeah. Anyway, before I make any more threats, let's cue the theme tune.
Prepare your party of players and polyhedral dice. Your tragic backstory better be worth the sacrifice. Seize your sheets and D20.
Let's play D&D.
Your haggard character swaggers with daggers in each hand. You've all discussed what you must, but even best laid plans. Take a turn when checks are missed.
Roll initiative. Brandish your blades. Don't fail your saves. No risk too great, no choice too bold. This is your story. No guts, no glory. Confront your fate with every roll.
Inside, one who will pay the price. Their chance of success will rest upon the dice. No risk too great, no choice too bold.
This is No Small Roles.
So, having agreed to track down the Children of Havoc for Tymon Prevost, you had Quince enlist the aid of Arcanist Zerevir Tarik with a plan to rendezvous closer to their hideout. You headed out immediately, with Kasula having located Sallow 16 on a map for you. A quick scout of the area by Ruana found Sallow to be a courtyard of apartment buildings, with the children either in the top floor or the basement of Sallow 16. Gwendolyn received a message from Zerevir informing her that the Arcanist had been removed from the job, and that if the party wished to inspect the hideout before other Arcanists arrived, that they should move quickly. You headed into the basement, and after eventually getting through a locked door, you found Pellegrini happily packing up his storeroom, ready to be teleported away. Unable to approach him due to arcane defences, you spoke with him briefly, and as Gwendolyn and Gaius snuck away to try a different approach, Enkidu reached out to Erida. At this, Arcanist Axissa Wingthrup descended on Pellegrini with a strike team of mages, neutralising Pellegrini in seconds. You were told to leave, but defiantly asked for answers, with Gaius even using the Ring of Suggestion. Whilst his spell succeeded, the mages did not take kindly to it, stabbing the bard's hand to a wall and confiscating the ring.
Oh, you might get it back at the end of the lesson.
Eventually, you made your exit, frustrated and disheartened at having gotten so close to answers. And that's where we pick it up. You are making your way back through the city, having been sent away from Sallow 16. What are you doing?
Sulking.
Yep.
Is Enkidu still ahead of us?
Yeah,
like,
we chasing him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did we cross water to go here?
From Timon. Yeah.
Yeah,
so you're over in Redwalk at the moment.
Okay.
So to get back to Timon Prevost and Deromanet House, which is in Plumebridge, you basically have to walk the length of the city. But your inn is on the same side of a river that you are.
Okay.
So you'd have to basically pass by the Feather Pillow to cross a bridge to get back to Prevost.
And remind me, what time of day is it now, David?
It's probably quite late at night now. You're looking at like 9, 10 o'clock.
I mean, if all of you don't want to go back to Plumebridge, you want to go rest, I don't mind going. I do need to speak to Casula.
I'll come with you, Gwen, wherever you're going.
Well,
I'd
quite like to speak to her privately, though, so I just...
Okay.
I mean, I'm happy to just sit in another room, or would you rather just go completely on your own?
How are you all feeling? You probably need a rest, and it's up to you.
I mean, I guess we're going to have to talk to Timon at some point, but we could do that in the morning, or go over there now with you and give you some space. And
like, I'm easy, Gwen.
Yeah, you
killed her.
You
but
Gwendolyn quickly looks around, checks if he was listening.
I'm easy, but it's like it's a big old city, and you never want to be like alone by yourself. I know you can handle yourself, but you never know what's out there. So it might be a suggestion to like go in a two or something like that. I don't know what the group's consensus is. If everyone's going, yeah, I'll go. But if we're breaking up a little bit, like I could have a rest.
As soon as Gaia said that, you notice Enkidu is just floating off the ground, and he's flown off and away.
Oh.
And that just happened.
Enkidu, where are you going?
He picks up speed, and he's flying south.
I think somebody needs to go after Enkidu.
I can't fly.
On it! That's all right, Juna's taking off, going, don't let Gwen be on her own if she doesn't want to be. And I'm going to follow Enkidu. I think fly is one of the only spells I can cast right now. Oh no, I can cast it at fourth level. So I'm going to tap Guy or Orin, whoever's nearer. And they can also fly.
Roll a dice for it.
Roll a dice. Whoever's nearer is nearer.
Roll a dice. If it's higher than a 10, it's Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's 11 or plus, it's Guy.
What are you rolling? D100.
It's a natural 20. It's definitely Guy.
Yeah.
So she sort of just taps him and sort of takes off.
Yeah, I did not consent.
sorry, Guy. You don't have to use it.
Has Gaius had any more experience of flying since Enkidu let him fly once?
Malleus.
Oh, yeah, Malleus.
Yeah, that time. Yeah.
I fly out the door. I fly out the door. Oh, no, I fly out the window. Best blooper ever.
Yeah, I should explain. I only had a fourth level spell slot rather than a third level
they
spell slot.
They want to waste
slot,
it.
So I might as well.
They get a freebie.
Tap someone,
freebie.
Yeah.
It's like not drinking the whole pot of tea.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Guy follows Juna, but with less style and pizzazz than Enkidu. But he'll follow.
Gwendolyn kind of looks to Orin like...
yeah.
Juna goes, Ruana, go with them.
Guess we're walking then.
If you want to rest, you can. I don't mind going by myself. I'll be fast.
I kind of feel like I don't really want to leave you on your own. I'll come with. I'll just sit outside somewhere.
You don't have to.
No, it's fine. Come on.
Okay, then. Okay, they carry on walking.
I love it when Orin and Gwen are alone. I forgot how much I love this dynamic.
So as the two of you start making your way across the city, Enkidu, flying south, how fast are you flying? Are you just flying toward the lake? Are you going to fly over the lake? Obviously, you've got two people following you at this point.
Yeah. From Red Walk. Yeah, I'm flying over the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Flying southeast. Full speed. Hang on, can I roll perception to see if I've noticed anyone following me?
Yeah.
Oh, that is 17.
17. So yeah, you would have heard them shout after you, and then like as you sort of have taken off.
Hey, Kido, where are you going?
and then shortly afterwards, you continue to hear Juno and possibly Gaius's voice also following.
Okay. How cloudy is the sky?
It's patchy. There are some clouds, but you can like see the stars, and there's enough of a breeze that kind of the clouds are passing over the city fairly fast.
Okay.
Enkidu, wait for us.
I start climbing.
Oh God!
I'm gonna dash as well.
Just okay, whoosh. Juno, how long is this gonna last for?
Juno knows Vicky doesn't.
10 minutes. You got 10 minutes.
Ten minutes.
How long has it been?
If Enkidu drops out the sky, we need to land.
I really don't like this plan. Oh my gosh! Actually, can I do something in case something bad happens? Hang on, let me check my spells.
Do any of you have Featherfall prepared?
No, but I think I'm good. I think. Let me be clear. I think I'm good. I don't know about everyone else.
I'm so not good.
Oh boy.
It once this finishes.
I mean, Kyhildra are fine.
So as you're climbing, and just to clarify, are you climbing over the city or have you reached the lake and are climbing above the lake?
Above the lake, cool. Keeping above the city.
Nice. Okay. Just essentially if you start falling, you're going to hit water rather than brick.
Yeah.
Cool.
Although if it's that high, it's going to feel like brick.
So, yeah, you start climbing, and again, you do a quick check, and you can see that they're following you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to try something now. tell me if I can't do this. Mm. So, as I'm in the air, I'm going to try to find a way, like a peak of the flight, and I'm going to shoot my way back down using Thunderstep midair.
Yes, you can Thunderstep midair.
Yeah, so I'm going to climb up. Probably and well, let's see if I can make it rain by causing a thunderclap.
Oh shit, that's cool.
In the sky, and then dive teleport down. While if there's precipitation from any cloud that gets like clashed, use that as stealth to hide where I've ended up.
Do you know what? I'm going to allow all of this. This is do it. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So yeah, you fly almost directly into cloud.
Yeah,
and it's very cold even for the spring, and it's for a moment, you can't see anything. Like, there's just the way that the cloud kind of gathers around you, and it being nighttime anyway. And you cast your spell, drop, and as you fall again out of the sky, Juno and Gaius, you lose. Actually, can you both make perception checks, please, to try to find or spot where it is that he's appeared?
Yeah, I do not. Yeah, like the wind is like pushing his mask against him, like he's finding that discomfort, and it's just like he's having to reposition constantly, and suddenly like the flat, like the sound of thunder really discombobulates him, so he's like, whoa.
I rolled a 15.
A 15?
So I feel like she maybe doesn't lose him completely but can't keep up with him.
Yeah, in which case, Enkidu, I'll say, yeah, as you fall, and this like ripple of thunder goes out through the cloud, just breaking it up and like causing it to suddenly rain in this very localized shower. Can you make a stealth check, please?
Oh yeah. Natural 20.
Yeah. He's gone.
So that's a 26.
Yeah. So yeah, no. As you're both flying up after him, yeah, Juno, you think you've got a beat on him, but then just rain in your face all of a sudden.
There he is. Oh no, I've lost him again.
And he's gone. You've no idea where he is.
Hey kid. Juno shouts it and then messages it, like, with exactly the same tone. Does he reply?
No. Nope.
Guy, this is not good.
Nope. This is not good at all.
Shall we go back down?
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
I feel like we've lost him. I don't know what to do.
I feel like there's a sense of, if, you know, he's trying this hard to get away from us. The guy just needs to blow off some steam. He wants to be left alone, I guess.
Yeah.
I just hope he's okay.
Yeah, me too.
What?
I said me too.
Sorry, it's just very loud up here.
Oh my gosh.
And we'll float down
it's
to the city.
There's lots of clouds up here.
Let's discuss this as we move down. And we'll just float down to the city.
We're shouting through the rain and we both have message.
Amazing.
As the two of you descend, fly back down towards the city, whereabouts are you headed to? Are you going to go toward the Remnant House and Plume Bridge, or are you headed more to the Feather Pillow?
Can we look for Gwen and Orin in the streets?
I mean, they'd be quite tricky, but you know where they're headed.
Yeah. Like, can we follow the route that we think they're taking?
Yeah, you're welcome to. Make an investigation check.
Mm-hmm. 11.
11, no.
We can't find them.
Yeah, you don't see them. Again, you know roughly where they're headed, so you kind of follow the main roads, but you can't actually see them.
As we start skirting over the main metropolis, Guy's just going to message Juna and say, Juna, just a thought. If we're trying to be, you know, incognito and not, you know, being too tied up with time and, you know, publicly, it might not be a good idea to, you know, land right on the guy's house. Or Lord, whatever his name's house. You know what I mean?
She messages back, oh yeah, that's a good idea.
So, do we like go back or do we want to... Well, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Because we could like go back to our place, get changed, or follow Carhilda.
I don't know. I kind of want to stay near Carhilda. I think there's going to be a lot of stuff coming up for her.
Okay, because they might
and
have
I think
nicer...
maybe if we stay together, at least we're only missing Enkidu.
Sure, okay. Do you think they have showers at this place? Because I could really do with one.
Definitely.
Yes, let's go.
Definitely.
All right, we will try and fly down to the city as best in a way that doesn't, you know...
cause
like,
any kind of suspicion.
Suspicion or commotion, and then we'll just make our way, eventually following the trail of Orin and Carhilda through the back of the house.
Absolutely. So as you sort of float down, you realise that if you were to head toward Temple Green... where that area is quite sort of parkland. It's not lit very well. So you can kind of land on the grass there and then make your way through the city toward Plume Bridge. No issues at all. Still takes you a bit of time, but at least no one spotted you.
Great.
Gwendolyn and Orin, the journey across the city. How's that go?
Just a thought that there's a possibility, depending on which way we want to go, we're going to go right past the Arcanist Consortium on the way.
Might not hurt to just walk past it.
That's what I'm thinking.
At least, you know, we are tourists, so we could see if there's any information outside. Maybe they... I mean, in cities, don't they do tours and things like that?
Yeah. We could just have a little look, see if there's like, I don't know, like a notice board outside with like tours.
Opening
tours
times.
Tours at midday. Yeah.
Yeah. Might as well. We're walking in that direction. We've got to make today have counted for something. Well, no, today did count for things. A lot happened. We saved people. And
yeah.
We found some things out. It didn't maybe go the way we wanted, but
we found a lot out.
Yeah.
Actually, from a ghost.
Oh my God, that was
on a
that
boat.
That was weird, right?
It's not normal, is it?
No.
No, it's not just me thinking that's not normal.
And that was... Enkidu was able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm so glad that we've got Enkidu back and I'm actually starting to warm to him, but part of me's wondering if we really know him as well as we thought we might.
Yeah.
All this talk of murder before we truly know how terrible a person is. I just, it doesn't sit right with me.
No, I'm kind of with you on that one.
And I'm not saying I think Berrien's a good person at all. I think he's deplorable. But I also don't want to see Enkidu throw his life away by, you know, killing a potential heir to the throne.
Yeah. Oh, goodness, we're going back to Tymon again, aren't we? He's another one of the heirs, and I'm just a bit, like, lost how we all got muddled up in this anyway.
if I'm honest.
If Juno were here, she'd say fate.
Yeah. I guess so. It's just, it is a lot, isn't it?
It's a lot, a lot. And very overwhelming. And all I want to do is drink or get some frosting. And okay, I don't think that's a good idea.
I mean, the first one sounds okay. The second one, I just don't think it's a good idea.
I just, like, you haven't tried it. It's, like, really relaxing. And, like, it just does help you chill out
a bit. Yeah, I think I like knowing what I'm doing.
Yeah, you're right. But, you know, like, if anybody got any cakes and they were like, Gwendolyn, do you want one? I would say yes.
Okay.
At an appropriate time. But only because I'm just feeling really stressed. To be honest, I'd say yes to any cake right now.
Well, I mean, I'm with you on that. I mean, not any cake.
We look out for cake stalls.
Make an investigation check.
I need to stress eat.
I thought you were thinking, for some reason, I don't know why, but in my head, I was like, she wants some frosting? Like, I was like, does she want drugs?
Yeah.
Oh, is this the thing? I've just...
Yeah, I totally want frosting.
I was like,
Carl Hilda really like Gwendolyn likes frosting. She wants,
Wow, well done, Chris. Good job.
let me just roll perception on that one. Yeah. Aha, a one.
You are so insightful, Chris. Wow.
Did you say an investigation check, David?
Yeah, for a bakery. A late night bakery.
11 for a late night bakery.
So you do unfortunately pass a bakery, but it is very closed. Yeah, you pass probably a couple of them on the journey across, but shutters are closed, all of the doors are locked, nobody's in.
I mean, we could just go to a bar, get some strawberry daiquiris,
but
dance the night away.
I mean, you want to see Casula, don't you?
Yeah, I need to, but it's tempting to put it off.
Yeah. Well, I can imagine. Yeah. I mean, she seemed remarkably calm about you turning up.
Yeah. I mean, I think it definitely helped that I had just saved her life.
Yeah, that's a big help.
Brownie points for sure.
Big brownie points. Oh, we're talking about cake again.
We need to, like, just have cake. Like, emergency supplies, maybe.
Oh, maybe I can make emergency cake.
That sounds like it would be your best invention ever.
I'll work on it.
I wonder where Enkidu's gone.
Yeah.
Speaking of... A slow pan up to the stars above. And Enkidu, where have you gone?
I have hopefully landed in the Vale itself.
Now,
where we're about
question.
To walk through.
So, yeah, obviously there's the Vale, the district, with the Lord's Assembly at its centre, also colloquially known as the Vale. Are you trying to land essentially in the Houses of Parliament? Is that what you're saying? Like the district close enough to it? Like
The district close enough to it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you find yourself in the Vale. Not too far actually from City Hall and the Lord's Assembly, but like not close enough that anyone's gonna instantly spot you flying down from the sky. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's quite quiet this time of night.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few of the city guard, the stags, sort of strolling through. They're not really paying much attention to anybody that's out. They're more interested in chatting to each other.
Okay, cool. It's very quiet around the Lord's Assembly building as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can see the odd light on here and there in a window.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the building itself, there's really no hustle and bustle. A couple of guards stood on the gates.
Sure. I'm just going to find somewhere quiet. Mm-hmm. Dark as well.
Mm-hmm.
So... because I know, and Kidu knows, that Gwendolyn and Arya would have to get through there to get to Plumbridge, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So he's going to find somewhere out of the way and just hunker down for a bit.
Cool. Whilst you're waiting, Are you looking out for anyone in particular? Beyond Gwendolyn and Orin.
Oh, right. I'm looking for the usual, not dissenters, search of the word. People who are just outside the norm of society, you know, anyone who looks kind of shady. Sort of like how I used criminal contact earlier to find that wee lass from the other day. Mm-hmm. But anyone like that, as I short rest, I keep on the lookout.
Such a warlock.
So yeah, over the course of an hour, can you make the investigation check just to have a quick beat, see if anyone of interest passes by?
Investigation is it intelligence? Or is it wisdom?
Intelligence.
Oh, fuck. So that's a 14.
14? There are some exhausted-looking, like, legal clerks that come out of the Lord's Assembly that are passing by. They kind of stop to have a brief chat with some guards that you think, oh, maybe that looks a little bit shady, but not in quite the same way that you're wanting.
Mm-hmm.
And apart from that, yeah, over the hour, at least, nobody seems to catch your attention, but at the same time, nobody is paying you any mind, so you feel quite comfortable and secure in your little hiding spot.
Okay. I'll watch the coming and goings of the house for now, just for now, just to see what it's like at nighttime.
Yeah. And again, it's not busy at all. You can imagine that the people that are still in there are the people that have been tasked to hit political deadlines before the morning, so they've had to stay late. Or on the other side of things, people that don't really want to go home, so they're just like happier staying where they are,
yeah,
to do work and wake up later.
Okay.
Poor civil servants.
Poor civil servants. We feel you, guys. We feel you.
Yeah,
this time of night there's not a lot of sort of like carriages carrying anybody through or anything like that. It literally is just the pencil pushers at this point and the guards just keeping a watch.
How big is the building?
It's hefty. Multiple towers on it. Yeah, imagine like
Westminster Palace.
Westminster, yeah. It's kind of comparable to that. Like one of those like those buildings that are kind of like ornately decorated on the outside and just probably too big for what they are, and it would be work better across multiple little buildings. in a space, but they've crammed everybody into this one space, you know. But yeah, the kind of thing that it'd probably take you a good half an hour to walk around the perimeter of it.
And that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Cool. Yeah, make another investigation check.
Five.
Yeah. No, nothing stands out to you in your walk. There is quite a lot of space around the building. It almost seems to be like parked in a little zone of its own. Like the closest buildings to it are probably about a 5 minute walk away. And the space in between is all paved, and it's got little patches of grass and like sort of little like pockets of park almost. But for actual building, you can almost imagine like they've kept everything just that bit further away, so that if anybody were to try to attack or anything, there is distance that they'd have to cover first. But yeah, apart from that, no, nothing of interest leaps out to you.
Okay, cool. I kind of, as best as I can, commit that to memory. I'll probably find somewhere by the water's edge and sit for a bit. Just thinking about the day. What happened? Is there anything I could have done different? Let's have an inside check.
Yeah.
I haven't done one of those in a long time.
Oh, yeah.
That is an 8. So it's 5 plus my charisma, so it's 8.
Okay.
It's not a one.
It's not a one. Yeah.
And I'm by myself.
Kido kills a random person.
Bad guy comes out. No, so as you sort of, again, settle yourself into a little space, you just get like a little like brush up against your shoulder. And glance over to see a tiefling woman sat next to you. A tail slightly flicking around. She's just quite casually like sort of staring at this little pond, this little lake that you found.
Apologies in advance. I seem to only call when I'm stuck.
I mean, I'm more stuck than you are.
Yeah, I miss that wit.
This is a nice spot.
Yeah, it's a nice spot. I don't think any of us have come this far north. Well, one of us probably has, but...
I definitely haven't.
Man, today was terrible. And I know I did what I thought was the best thing to do with what I knew, but it just... again, it's like back in the fields of Valor. I just don't really know what I'm doing, you know? Mm. Where I'm supposed to be going. There's a kind of beacon and a signal pointing me south, but it's not as simple as that. For some of them, they are. Like, for some people, they are, but for us, it's not. There's so much more we have to achieve and do before that happens. It's just so big, all of it. It's almost overwhelming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think it could have gone a lot worse today.
Yeah, thinking about it, yeah. Those Arcanists, really strong.
Oh, I mean, they're shit scary, yeah. If you could not mess with them too much, that'd be great. Maybe take a little bit more of what I've taught you, if that's possible. Okay, thanks.
No, it's a fair comment.
Yeah,
honestly. I really don't want to mess with them now. They pull more strings than I thought they did. I mean, when we were speaking to the professor a few days ago, it's weird that these founders have... They were in charge and all that power, know nothing about them. But then they seem to, rule Dravain forever through their descendants, through still being alive. And then they want to point me in the direction of their throne to use as some kind of puppet for whatever they've got next. And there's just so much we don't know, so much we don't have. Allies, alliances. It's just a lot.
Listen. I don't really know if Gil can hear me whilst I'm out here, but even if he can, I'm going to say it. Should he be the one that's on the throne? Obviously, I support him, but you're right, we're not in that situation right now.
No, I know. And trust me, I hope you trust that I know. I've known about your reservations before, and I'm still never gonna act in it or even tell him that, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. The position we're in, no one knows who he is, or even the fact that he exists. You know, I almost wanted to tell Prevost or give him a hint that, you know, a sibling was nearby, but... Would have been for naught. Wouldn't have done nothing.
I don't know. I feel like the more you bring us out, perhaps the closer you are to sharing us with other people. Sharing's the wrong word. I mean, but if you want to share us. No, that's a different thing. Showing us.
That's a subgenre of something.
I remember you said sharing. I'm definitely going to remember you said sharing. That one slipped. No way. But you're right.
But she leans forward and there is... the faintest outline of her reflection in the water.
Akindu's eyes bulge out of his head.
Just don't think we're there yet.
No, we're not. Prevost stands for something. We need to find that something of our own.
Yeah. I mean, he's not wrong in a lot of ways. I mean, these are the kind of things that Gil supports, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
The real question is, who's older? Because that's in shit, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, I guess we can find that out. We can stick to Prevost for now. Just learn more about him. And then, once we learn more about the nature of why I'm supposed to go where I'm going. Maybe I can offer him... Man, I had this weird idea that presenting Gil or myself would be protecting him, Prevost, for what lies in Mervai. There could be a trap for all we know. Susie sits on the throne, something activates and he's dead, and all his dreams and ambitions come to naught. So if we took the throne before him, he can still get what he wants. People's Parliament, someone else on the throne, but, you know, a proper collaboration. Because I don't trust that everything's just going to work out as soon as we sit in that palace again. I don't, not for a second. But you guys need to be out first.
Yeah. Maybe that's the best way forwards.
Yeah, which means patience. I'm not very good at that.
No. She leans over, sort of like nuzzles your head with her horns. She goes, Enkidu, you're nobody's puppet.
And his eyes will just well up.
And then she disappears.
And he'll whisper to the water, like, you always know the right thing to say. And he'll get back and walk towards Plumbridge.
Grace here, keeping you updated with all things No Small Roles related. We'll be recording the next episode of No Small Questions on Wednesday, the 14th of September. So if you have any questions for myself and Ben Galpin, you can send them to us via social media. We are at No Small Roles on Twitter and Instagram. We're also on Facebook. And if you haven't already, why not join our awesome Discord chat? You'll find the link to join in our show notes. Our wonderful Patreon supporters are invited to join us live in the Zoom for the recording, where they can ask their questions live or just chill out and listen. Talking of patrons, we have two new ones. Big love and big roles to Sophia Murphy, whose name you may recognise as the artist of our original character art, and also big love and big roles to Martin S. Thank you both for being tremendous humans and by helping us to continue making this show. If you too would like to become a patron, head to www.patreon.com/nosmallroles to find out more. Other ways to support the show include recommending us to your friends and family, making sure you've subscribed to us wherever you listen to your podcasts, and by leaving us a review. Reviews and recommendations really are the best way to build our show, and we would be so grateful to have your support in that. That's all from me for now. Let's get you back to the adventure.
So, my planning of it all out, from looking at all the roads, I actually think that Juna and Gaius are probably the first to arrive back at Plumbridge.
Right, because we flew half of it.
Just because you flew half of it, yeah.
I think they definitely arrive and are like, we're here with Gwen and Orin. They arrive.
Kyle-Hilda.
Oh, Kyle-Hilda, yeah.
Jesus.
But they don't, my point is they don't think they're first.
Yeah, and there's, sort of the doorman sort of knows who you are, so he's like, lets you in, shows you to the seating room, but of course then they're not there. Probably about 20 minutes before Gwendolyn and Orin actually arrive, and then probably another 2 hours 3 hours after that before Enkidu eventually does.
When we've gone past the Arcanist Consortium, did we find any information outside about opening times and tours and etc?
Make an investigation check. It's quite dark.
Orin, you
it's
can do that.
Not necessarily things they have on billboards out the front.
But both of us or one of us or...
Yeah, Orin, you go for it. I'll help you.
It is a governmental building, not a tourist attraction.
So it's...
opening times. Ticket prices. Yeah.
The door is unattended between these hours.
You must be this high to enter.
Does Orin get advantage because I said I help?
Do I get advantage?
Yeah,
thanks.
Go on.
Glenn is helping me. Thanks. Non-natural 20.
Yeah, so you have a quick chat with the doorman, and interestingly, in comparison to the Lord's Assembly, whilst the Lord's Assembly has like fences and guards and like people being checked as they come in and out, the Arcanist's Consortium has more of just like an arched gateway with like a gate drawn up, but there is like a doorman sort of like in a little booth as you try to enter.
Drawn up, so there's like there should be a way in, or the way in is like
as in there could be a gate that drops down, but there isn't.
So at the moment you could walk through if the doorman wasn't in the way.
If the doorman wasn't there, exactly. Yeah. And it like sort of the walkway leads straight out into an open courtyard that you can see the buildings and sort of again late night studiers sort of flitting about the corridors further in. But the doorman does stop you. Yeah, explains that essentially you'd need to make an appointment for a tour, though tours are available. There is a quite a long waiting list for a tour.
Like, how long's quite long?
A couple of months.
Couple of months?
Yeah, at this point, yeah.
Oh, wow. We're only here for the tournament for probably a day or two.
Oh, sorry. Disappointing, isn't
it? Do you know if there's any chance of, you know, getting in a bit earlier if you've got good connections or...
I mean, if you were royalty, sure, but...
or, you know, you're a successful father, maybe.
No.
Okay.
Wow.
Cool.
All right, well, have a good evening to you.
Bye.
You too. Bye. Says Orin, walking away as he tunes up his goggles of magical detection to see if there's any magic within 30 feet of him immediately around the doorway or the doorman.
All of it.
Yep. Uh-huh.
The doorman has clearly got some magical items about himself. There are enchantments all the way, like hidden enchantments all across the gateway that should anything happen, you could quite easily be repelled.
Nice. And I assume it's all over the walls and everything as well.
All over the walls. Cool. Almost every single cobblestone seems to have something different sparkling
Excellent.
In it.
Excellent. Thank you. Yeah.
Let alone just the blinding light of magical energy that seems to be coming from further in.
Or it's like, ow. Okay, sorry. As he accidentally glances towards the actual consortium. Okay. As we walk away.
Maybe Quince or Zerevir Tarek through that connection, yeah. Maybe.
I'm a bit loath to pull on the Zerevir Tarek cord now.
Yeah. They're powerful.
They're powerful and not necessarily our friend.
No, but, you know, she wanted us to keep stumm about things and we've been off doing our other thing. We could try and get a meeting with her at least.
Yeah, we could ask for a meeting.
Say, like, what happened? Why did she get taken off the job? Like, you know, we were worried. We're just here, like, we're big fans of Tyman. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, that could be a way in.
Pull that angle.
Yeah.
It's worth a try. We'll ask Quince and Kasula.
Yeah, but well, I don't think we're going to be sneaking in or magically working our way in with anything that I've got at my disposal.
Come on, Orin. I'm like so good at magic.
Yeah.
She gets out her fairy fire wand.
Oh, that's backwards. You're holding it backwards.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, fine.
So, yeah, before Enkidu arrives, obviously, the four of you gather back at the Ruminant House. Tyman has a brief chat with Juna and Gaius about what exactly happened. And as soon as kind of it's clear that he's more checking that the others aren't dead. Rather than like, you know... But
there's
like,
only two of you.
Yeah, he very quickly gets uninterested in the conversation and sort of wanders off to bed.
Have Juna and Gaius like given him the full lowdown of like, just what happened?
Yeah, how much have you told them?
Yeah.
We've just sort of explained. I think there's no point in being, you know, not transparent about it, right?
Vicky? Yeah, for sure.
Sure, so we'll just go do a blow by blow.
Like, this is what happened. This
you
is
play
what
them
happened,
the last episode.
Yeah.
Whilst making a sound incredibly competent.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, like make it out like we did so much.
We did such a good job. It's just unfortunate the way it turned out.
Overcame the most challenging of arcane locks.
Absolutely. Like, this thing was
and
we
opened the door for the consortium to waltz in and just like take all the glory.
Pretty much.
Which, to be fair, yeah.
We like, yeah, we cornered this dangerous individual.
He was just about to teleport, and we held him there.
Yeah, we did. We did. we were so intimidating. You know, if we were there just a few seconds earlier, we would have had him.
That's the story we tell.
That's the story. Okay, cool. Kasula obviously approaches to ask about Carhilda's whereabouts, but by that point, Gwendolyn and Orin have arrived.
She's there at the door.
We went through the secret back way.
Yeah, through the stables. Yeah.
We really should ask about leaving our horse and cart here.
Yeah, it's really nice. Pip and Lord Crumpet would love it here.
Oh, they'd be so happy here.
As you walk through the door, like Gwendolyn, Kasula is up and about, and you can see relief across her face.
You're feeling better then?
Much. Have you warmed down yet?
No, not yet. Not really. We just kind of been warm.
Come then, out into the garden.
Okay. Gwendolyn runs after Kasula to go. See you guys in a bit.
Enjoy warming down. What?
It's a thing she makes her do. Don't ask.
Have they got showers here? That's
the last thing you heard him say. So, Kasula walks out into almost like a little patio-type garden with potted plants all around the outside, positions herself with the back to one wall. She's got her fan out, sort of just not really fanning herself, just more like ready to use. And again, you've seen her take these stances almost every training session, ready to poke you with it,
mm-hmm.
to correct you.
Yeah.
But she just stands there and waits for you to start.
Gwendolyn like starts like she takes off like any like extra bits of baggage and stuff, and then she starts going into like her warm down routine, stretching, mm-hmm. and in a very mindful way, she's really trying to show Kasula just like how much more focused she is,
mm-hmm.
and she's trying to do her very, very best.
Yeah. Kasula is obviously taking a very slow walk, examining you completely, but like just circling you, watching you from every angle, occasionally stepping forward and like tapping your shoulders to like pull them back a little bit. Even as you're sort of stretching out your feet, she's almost like trying to make you sit up correctly, whilst you're stretching. And then once you finish that, she says, your posture is all out of practice.
Well, I mean, I've been practicing as well as I can on the road, and I've learnt lots of other things, actually, so...
Yes, I can tell you've picked up some very bad habits from that white-haired gentleman.
I have not picked up bad habits. I have learnt a lot from him, actually. I've learnt how to fit in places where I don't want to stand out.
Hmm.
So I think that's a very useful skill. Actually,
show me the forms.
Gwendolyn starts going. she wants to apologize to Kasula, but at the moment Kasula is not making her want to apologize, so she's just like getting frustrated, but kind of like pushing through. Okay, no, I'm gonna show her how well I can do everything.
Mm-hmm.
She starts doing like different movements associated with the different like flurry of blows and step of the wind, all like kind of associated with those things that she would spend her key points on.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, again, this fan just becomes more and more pokey. Slight slaps across the ribs every time, like you start not even slumping, like you're in the middle of a movement and suddenly you'll get it. And again, she's just testing you.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're very used to like her way of teaching, but having been away from her so long, how do you take it?
I think Gwendolyn is trying to keep her composure until she snaps and she tries to grab the fan off of Kasula.
Oh.
At which point she parries the slap. Obviously, it goes to twist your arm around. What are you doing?
I'm going to try and, like, kick her. I'm going to try and get out of it.
Make an attack roll, please.
Okay. Ooh, okay.
Okay. That is a 24.
Whoa.
24 hits, yeah.
Yeah, I think she's kind of like gone to like, she stepped backwards, but then with her front leg kind of swung round to try and like, she's just trying to like take the feet from underneath her to try and...
Yeah, so yeah, the 24 hits, you scoop her down.
But gently as well, because she is injured.
Yeah, she's kind of in like evening robes. But as even in this sort of not gown, but this sort of dressed down clothing, she falls onto one hand so gracefully, spins slightly, regains her foot, and the fan comes swooping up under your leg.
Oh, God.
That is 23 to hit.
Yeah, that hits.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yep. So, again, you find yourself almost mimicking her movements as you fall to the ground.
Okay. Yeah. I think Gwendolyn probably doesn't quite catch herself as gracefully. Like, she tries to do it, but she, like, just as she does, like, I think she kind of just misses and she ends up, like, getting up in the dust of stuff in the courtyard. Casula, just stop for a minute. I want to talk to you. I don't want to do all of this right now. I want to say sorry.
She sort of crosses the patio, kneels down next to you, and kind of scoops you up into a hug.
Gwendolyn's like all tense at first, but then she just kind of flops into it and like a little tear comes out of her eye. I didn't want to let you down. I didn't know how to tell you I wasn't happy, and I just got caught up and I left, and I'm so sorry for the mess that I've made.
Dear, you haven't made any mess.
But the DeBarges, they're trying to...
Oh, they make a lot of noise, but I'm sorry for not having noticed how unhappy you were.
I felt like I'd let you down by messing up with my exam, and then I thought that it was the only way to make you happy, and it's important to me to make you proud, and I just kept on feeling like I was failing and failing.
Have you continued to feel that way on your travels?
No, not now. Sometimes my friend, the white-haired, moody one, we weren't friends at first, and we were only just kind of getting there. I think he kind of judged me quite quickly, and if anything, that kind of lit a fire under me. I wanted to prove that I was useful, and I've helped these people I'm traveling with, and they've helped me. Even though I'm sorry for letting you and the family down, I'm not sorry, really, for the way that my path has taken me. It feels right to be with these people, with my friends. With my new friends, I suppose. I did leave friends behind.
She kind of holds you for a bit, before sort of releasing you so she can actually see you a bit better. She says, "There's one thing I've learned since falling for your father, is that the roses and their children are not very easily shaped."
Gwendolyn smiles. "Is Dorian giving you problems?"
"Endlessly." "It's
whilst, yes, we had plans for you that perhaps did not go as we intended, you are a beautiful young woman. And it is not for us to say who or what you should be. We had hopes, obviously. We thought the connections would aid you in finding a place, but perhaps decorum as such is not the path for you.
Perhaps. Although it's useful at times.
Oh, yes, I can imagine so.
I appreciate that so much, Kasula. And Gwendolyn gives her the biggest hug. Wraps her arms around her.
And it's a really tight hug back. You've been in her grapples before. And this is getting close. but you can still sense that there is some tension in her, but it does relax slightly into just comfort. But, he says, I think you need to talk to your sister.
Oh. Is Prim not happy with me?
Well, I feel perhaps that she needs a good argument.
Well, I would happily fill that need. You said you had a way of contacting home?
Yes, I have a sending stone upstairs.
Do you think Prim would like a late night argument or a morning argument?
Well, I'm sure if you were to wake her, that would certainly start one.
Ooh. That sounds delightful. Gwendolyn stands up and helps Kasula up. And it's kind of like, yeah, she's ready to go. Call home.
Can I just ask before? Juna?
Yeah?
Was she aware of your plan to elope? Or?
No. Not at all. And actually, it was complete chance, complete fate that we met on the road. It wasn't till a couple of weeks in that our paths even crossed, and she was just as surprised to see me as I was her.
I see. So she just walked out on her employment of her with no notice or anything.
I kind of feel like Juna has a mind of her. I kind of feel like Juna has callings in her life, and she seems like the sort of person who just goes, do you know what? I'm done with this. And off she goes. It's just she was with us for a long time, like most of Dad's life.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We did find a replacement, but...
Oh, really? Who?
A local woman. What was her name? This is David trying to come up with a name.
I thought it was going to be like massive spoiler, like massive revelations.
Yeah, just like, whoa.
She's called Crow.
Basil. Whoa.
Lemongrass.
Yes, this other gnome with some sort of funny flower tattoo.
Okay, I've got one. Oh, just some local woman called Beatrice. She's available for work.
Oh,
she's not half as good a cook, though.
Juna is pretty good at cooking. Although the rest of my friends don't seem to agree.
She'd do something strange.
There was an incident with some worms.
Ah, yes.
You cook worms for dinner one time.
30-something episodes later. Oh, God, how many episodes ago was that?
Oh, my goodness, I don't know.
Early days.
It was like 50 episodes ago.
Talking of new people to the Rose household, have you had any new additions arrive?
Your friends?
Yes.
Not just yet.
Oh.
But we're aware of their coming, and we'll obviously let them in if you think they are in need.
Is there anyone that could maybe keep an eye out for them, maybe to see if they can find them?
Yes, I'm sure. I'm sure we could organise something.
Great. We should probably check in with them anyway. We've not got in contact with them for a while. But hopefully they're staying safe.
I'm sure they're fine.
Yes. Right, you said I had an argument to do.
Yes. And she leads you inside, up into her bedchambers. And yeah, pulls out this little box with a... You can tell it's one of your dad's locks, that it's overly complicated for the sake of it. And it takes her a moment. She's like, I'm sure that was the bloody combination. Okay, there we go. And pulls out this incredibly smooth oval pebble, kind of sort of just a mottled greyish colour. And she passes it to you.
Has Gwendolyn ever seen anything like this before? Like, is it one of her dad's inventions, or...?
Yeah, it's one of her dad's things. So you have, whether or not you've necessarily handled one, like, you're aware that, like, he likes to use different materials and things. So, and yeah, it's very much of your dad's design. You can see, like, a pattern around the edge, sort of carved into the edge of this pebble.
Ooh, what's the pattern?
That is very much his handiwork.
Are there roses?
Yeah, it's all thorns and roses, and the way he does his little spirals are like, yeah.
I've not...
Would you like some privacy, or...?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to be held accountable for some of the language I might use. No, I mean, obviously I wouldn't use terrible language anyway. When talking to Prim, I haven't actually used one of these before. I've seen them, but I'm not really sure what to do with it.
Oh, just hold it in your palm, squeeze it tight, and talk into your hand, and your voice will be heard from its companion.
Okay. And Dad's probably got it first, right? Was it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Carhilda.
That's your name.
I fly to the door.
Thank you, Gwendolyn. No.
Oh, gosh.
Thank you, Kasula. I don't know if you'd mind, but maybe checking on my friends, checking they're okay, and they might be hungry. It's been a long day.
Yes, I do want to have some words with Juno.
Okay. Uh-oh. I mean, like, here's your piece, she's boy. Amazing.
Get on.
Juno flies.
Hey. A joke 52 episodes in the making.
Juno lies. Juno lies.
Vicky's face was priceless.
Cool. Okay. Well, you know, Juno's amazing, and she probably saved my life like 400 bazillion times.
Well, still, she leaves.
Gwen's just like, oh, shit.
Yeah, so by this point, Enkidu has slowly arrived in the back door.
Yeah, I was going to say. No, is everyone gone to bed, or can I, from what I could tell, is the house quiet?
Juno's about to be taught a new one, apparently.
Yeah.
There is still movement in the house. Somebody has let you in. You do pass by Quince. As you come in, and he's like, oh, it's good to see that you're all back then.
Yeah, we had quite the surprising turn of events.
So I've heard.
Yeah, some of us just needed time to reconcile with what actually went down, you know?
Oh, yes. I need to speak to Zerevir about their side of things. If the Arcanists want to deal with those rabble rousers, then all for it, I say. But bit rude is all. Bit rude.
Yeah, it's a little concerning as well. Paul, if an Arcanist was going there anyway, who does it matter who goes to the job or not? And that's the concerning part of that. It. So, I'd say be careful when you go to Zerevir. Maybe she's being watched.
I certainly hope not. But noted, noted.
Yeah, of course.
We've just put out some sandwiches for your friends, if you'd like.
Oh,
some.
Right. Yeah. thank you. Yeah, I'll have a look.
And a nightcap. Do help yourself. Do help yourself. Kind of wanders off back to his study.
And Keely thinks of worms. No. He'll probably just wander into the kitchen to see, just out of curiosity, see what's there.
And that's where you find the rest of the party. Sans Gwendolyn. Kind of sat around it. And the sort of the housekeeper has kind of left you to it. She's prepared some very simple, like, sort of ham and cheese sandwiches for everybody.
Toasted or untoasted?
untoasted.
What kind of butter are we talking here?
Butter
hand churned butter.
Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh.
Is that what you want?
A little bit of like crunchy lettuce, just.
Oh yeah.
It's just some a couple of little snacks, a couple of biscuits out, and a bottle of wine that's been left for you all as well.
David, the time that we've been in the house,
yeah,
have we just been in the kitchen, or were we in a sitting room or anything like that at any point?
You've probably been moved. Around. It's one of those things that people have kind of spoken to you, but everyone is kind of getting on with it. And whilst you're not imposing, like, you don't get the sense that they mind too much that you're there, you also do feel very much in the way, as they're, like, business is happening as usual in the house, and they're just kind of like moving you room to room.
Well, we're getting moved from room to room. Orin would like to be on the lookout for two things, if he may.
Yeah,
they're similar things. A, interesting looking history books anywhere.
Okay, yeah.
Because it feels like the sort of house that they might have, like, royal lineages and that sort of stuff going around. And also, like, just anything interesting. I don't know what, like, on the walls, or if there's any, like, I don't, you know, like, certificate of being a king. I mean, not something like that, but, like, you know, anything interesting that they're displaying about the house.
Yeah, there are family portraits. Mm-hmm. Of the de Romanets, sort of scattered around, like, sort of individual, some of them quite small, almost like book size, book cover size drawings. In one of the dining rooms, there's a much bigger family portrait. You can tell that it's quite an old portrait, so that you can assume that none of the people in it are alive anymore, just in the style of clothing and sort of the slight aging of the painting itself. But you do also find a lineages book, a compendium of royal family trees.
Yeah.
As you say, obviously they would be checking through these things, and you can tell that this copy is quite a public copy. For instance, it's not like, oh, they've managed to acquire some deep hidden lore. It's just a proper explanation of the extended royal family.
It's a Burke's peerage kind of
through
thing.
The generations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, they've got a copy, and no one is currently using it, so you're welcome to read it.
Lovely. Orin will read it. We'll take it with him while getting shuffled around the house. He's not trying to hide that he's reading it. He's just, like, settles down in an armchair, then they get moved on somewhere else, and he just takes the book with him. And
yeah, and nobody has paid you any mind in doing that. Nobody has corrected you, your actions.
Does he have it by the time Enkidu has reached them in the kitchen?
I will very much.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I'm assuming.
I think he's just looking directly at that book, like, what do you have there, lad?
Oh, kind of interesting. All the royal lineages, previous kings and queens and dukes and duchesses, or equivalent, or world equivalents.
Of Trevain?
I assume, of Trevain, David, or Featherfield?
Yeah,
just
obviously, yes. This is the
obviously
the Trevainian focus. Yeah,
yeah sure.
This is the Trevain edition.
Oh, how far back does it go, or how recent does it
flick,
go
flick,
to?
Flick, 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 flick.
Feel free to look at your Facebook, Ben.
Ooh.
Oh,
what?
Oh my goodness! It goes all the way back to Rumath.
Oh girl.
Oh. Down to Hirish.
You're kidding me. Achilles gonna pop, like, just like just crowd Orin. And he's particularly looking like, where are the names of their spouses?
Sorry, say again, hang on. My internet connection went a bit dodgy there, despite us being in a kitchen together.
The women, the spouses to these kings.
Yeah, they're all on there.
What? Harish's spouse?
No, not for Harish, though. Harish is just sat there by themselves.
But Rumath? Flick, 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 flick.
Right back to the front of the book.
Ottera Mithras. Looks like Rumath had two kids, Meldrath and Ilya. Meldrath was the king, or
queen, or I don't know, Meldrith, no idea.
Well, if the name is adjacent to Monarch, that would be the partner.
Beatrix. Oh, right. Okay, yeah. So Meldrith and Beatrix, and they had Aldrian as their offspring, who was king, but then looks like it's flipped over to their cousin. Cousin?
So Aldrian didn't have any children, but so the next in line was a cousin.
Second cousin.
Sorry, sir?
No. So went to Welfas, and then went to...
What? Then it went back to Rumath. Am I reading that right?
Yeah, they abdicated.
There was another king called Rumath.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe it was a different Rumath.
Oh.
Okay. The second.
Yeah. Henry the VIII. We all get this.
I've been confused there.
Easy, guys.
Yeah. If it helps to track just the monarchs, I have sent you a separate monarch
list. Hang on. There's another page here with just the monarchs. So, yeah, Rumath, Taribor. Meldrith, Taribor, Aldrian, Welfas. Rumath the second, I guess. Hildegard, Neurolf, Alias, Mordra, Wessin, Wessia?
That's two R's.
Wessia?
Werrier.
Werrier. Oh, Werrier. Udrian and then Herish. And all the dates are there as well.
Okay. But Herish is missing a spouse.
Yeah, no spouse.
Okay. Well, he wasn't married when I was there.
No, he died. He died childless.
No.
Yeah, right?
No, you jackass. I mean, Gilgamesh is not, he has children, but he doesn't have any official spouses. He's not.
Yeah.
He didn't marry. So I was at the palace, he wasn't spoken for. He didn't have a queen. And the last time that I had after I left the palace, so I was in the palace for 5 years, remember?
Yep.
And then there are 6 years of my life I can't account for.
Yep.
And he died in that time.
Yeah. Okay.
So he never married.
Right.
David, can I check what year it is currently, please?
And also, can I clarify that Enkidu was calling Gaius a jackass, not Dara calling Chris a jackass?
Love you, buddy. Yeah.
No. In character voice. It is currently 624 Drevane.
So hang on.
Or D624.
So Herish died in 618. So Herish ruled for a long time. So Herish ruled for nearly 50 years.
Wow.
Reigned from 572 to 618. Well, hang on. You've forgotten 5 years, buddy. Is that right?
Was it six?
Oh, maybe
it was six, wasn't
six.
It?
Six.
Six.
Six, yeah.
Oh, okay. So he must have... And he was alive when you last remember.
Yeah, he was.
So he must have died pretty soon after you forgot what's going on.
I mean, there was one incident. But it was a thing I could talk about another time, but it was years and years before his death. And if that came back to bite him, I can't imagine how, but, I can't wait. So he ruled until when, sorry?
618.
618, which was the same year he died, of course. I assume his reign and when he died. He didn't lose the throne before that, right?
I don't know. Doesn't say. But
do any of us know that from
would definitely know. Yeah. Like, yeah, no, he died on the throne.
Yeah,
like
he died on
I mean,
the
not
throne.
Literally on the throne, but like
with a hamburger.
Oh yeah, I remember reading that story now.
Herish now looks like Elvis.
But yeah, no, you do from the information that this book has recorded, it has recorded his the date of his death, the exact day. And Enkidu, it's about 3 months after you were sent on your mission.
Jeez. Okay. I mean, he was getting on a little bit, but I don't want to, you know, pet myself up to be more important than I think I am, but like 3 months after I'm sent on a mission away from the palace and then he dies.
Yeah, could be a bit weird, couldn't it?
And then I'm missing for 6 years, unable to do anything.
So it's like when Gil's out of the picture, that's when stuff goes down.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe someone just got tired.
The quick question for David. Do we know anything about is death. Is there anything in kind of like any of the books that Orin's flipped through so far, or just in the...
Make an investigation check.
Thank you.
Investigation?
Mm-hmm.
28.
Jeez Louise.
For a 28.
I can make it a 33. You know I can.
You do it, son. Do it.
Let's have a long rest. Do it.
A 28. Jumping backwards and forwards between the various pages of this book, and as it sort of detailed the lives and deaths a little bit, and it hasn't gone into a great amount of detail on the actions of each monarch's life, but it has in some ways explained their deaths.
Mm.
And you start to notice a pattern across almost all of them.
Mm. Oh!
They all died on the toilet.
All of them had died on the toilet. For Herrish specifically, it's written down that he had a disease of the mind. And then you start comparing that to the others, and there is talk of madnesses in various forms, of an unraveling of their beings in some way or other.
Hang on.
Maybe our friends who were investigating had something to do with it.
I think that might be the case.
David,
mm-hmm.
Please may I cast Detect Magic?
Yeah.
And just look around the room we're in currently.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go for it.
Just looking around, just checking.
You do. You notice that there's a little... the only magic in the room is coming from a cupboard nearby. But you already know that cupboard is the pantry.
With the homeward door.
And inside of the pantry, there is one of those like accelerated grow pots.
Oh, okay.
For a little vegetable pot inside. But apart from that, there is no other magic within like the room that you're in, or within the rooms sort of adjoining either.
Just the stuff that we got on.
Apart from the five of you. Or four of you.
Not again.
Okay. Orin, like, panically, like, opens the pantry door, then just sees the magical plant pot and is like, okay, sorry, got a bit carried away there.
We have no eyes on us, right?
No eyes on us, no. All clean.
Okay, guys, so with this new information, what do we want to do?
We probably want to keep Prevost from gaining the throne until we know more information about what happened to these kings.
Yeah.
If Jaretta has refused Prevost's claim, she might be trying to protect the bloodline from this thing reoccurring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She refuses to test his blood to confirm his lineage, right?
Yeah.
So what say if she had no reason to not do that? She just lets him ascend the throne because he does have a strong claim to the throne. He ascends the throne, he rules, has a successful rule, but then loses his mind for whatever reason. And then vague fuckeries happen.
Yeah. I'm just... all I can think is... Crowl. Like...
Yeah.
Well, he went crazy because he tried to see too much through the cycle of strings.
How
what
do
he
we
saw drove him
mad. Know that that isn't the case with the kings or queens.
What, that they are, like, time travellers and
well,
stuff?
That, like, if they maybe have advisors of a similar nature who, you know, are helping them look into the future. I don't know.
Do we know, David, who, like, who knew the last king? Like, the current steward? Oh, no, you did. Didn't, no, but, like, at the time, who wasn't out for 6 years, who, like, knew him at the end?
It's assumed that there are various lords that it was close to.
High members of the consortium.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The monarchy also has its own privy council,
mm-hmm.
which Jaretta used to run before she became steward. So
nobody that you have contact with,
but like
beyond
socially, we would know.
Socially, yeah, like you, you'd have some knowledge.
Okay.
And Enkidu, there was no indication of this before you went on your mission.
No. I mean, I had the greatest respect for him. He was a kind individual. He went out of his way to teach Gin and I a few lessons, just in terms of like people in general and what is expected of one in such an elevated position. But I always got the impression that his hands were always tied. Something was always stopping him from saying what's really on his heart. And he never really spoke of the future much. Felt like the past is always catching up to him in unexpected ways, you know? He didn't trust a lot of people, but that didn't seem to kind of like diminish his character or make him jaded in a way. He was kind of pure like that.
Are we going to find anywhere in this city that's going to have more information about this before we collect the spoons and move on?
Well, maybe at the Vale, if it's anywhere. Would that be where it is?
That's what we're doing tomorrow then? Going to the Vale and then checking out about some spoons and then...
Yeah.
Moving on?
Oh, yeah, me and Carl Hilda popped past the Arcanist Consortium as well. No tours there for 2 months.
2 months?
Yep, shame, because it was definitely on our tourism list.
I mean, there are other ways.
I mean, we're just...
Give ourselves a tour.
We could, but, you know, just, you know, we're just tourists in the city for that.
Guy's just going to hold his hand up and point to the scar that's, like, on his hand that's visibly, like, still very sore.
Yeah.
And just be like, I have a very, very clear reminder that those guys mean business. And I'm not a big fan of sticking my foot into that hornet's nest, buddy.
Yeah.
Just being honest.
It would be nice to get to look around the buildings, though, wouldn't it?
It would be. That'd be some lovely honey. But you know what? That's going to be a really nasty, nasty nest in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Agreed. Well, we've got the Lord's Assembly. They might do tours.
We could ask our buddy T-Dog.
Yeah. T-Dog.
But Timon's not a lord. Quince would have to.
Yeah. Q-Dog.
Yeah.
You hear a bell ring further off in the house.
Their service this late? What's going on?
Yeah, like a servant's bell? Or like a...
Or like a doorbell?
Yeah, like someone ringing a doorbell.
Do we detect that anyone else from the house has made a move towards the sound?
Yeah, there's... I mean, the whole time you've been talking and that anyway, there's been... sort of movements on the floor above you, and at the sound of a bell, yeah, you hear somebody descending and then a door opening, some voices further off.
Can we get closer to hearing what those voices are saying without raising attention?
Yeah, I mean, the door to the kitchen is currently closed, so you're welcome to push yourself up against it.
I do so.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
We all five of us at different levels.
Yeah.
Slunk.
Oh, I'm not there.
Gwendolyn's still upstairs.
Gwen's off shouting at her sister.
Cut to... But yeah, Gaius, can you make a perception check, please?
Ooh. So I rolled a 15, and with my perception, that's going to be a 19.
Ooh.
Oh, very nice. So... You hear two voices approaching, and as they get louder, one of them becomes very clear that it's Quince, and he's like, "Oh, Rule Krasula, have you seen our guests?" And Krasula's voice, very clearly from the other side of the door, says, "Yes, I believe they're just in the kitchen here." Pushes it open directly into your face, Gaius.
Oh, ow! Jeez.
Oh, sorry. Sort of Quince ducks his head in. Oh, funny moment, opening a door as you're coming through the other side. Oh, my apologies, young man.
Yeah, we saw a mouse run under the door. Gaius was just checking to see if it run into a corner or something.
I saw a mouse. Wait for it. Come on, ask me.
Where?
Where?
There on the stairs. There on the stairs. Right there.
Well... I must get the housekeeper onto it. We've got a visitor for you.
Us?
Yes, all of you. I believe you know her. Sort of pushes the door further open as Arcanist Zerevir Tarik walks into the room.
We run as fast as we can. We run.
Damn it. And she looks at the four of you and says,
"Yes, I think I'll take it from here, if that's okay, Quinn."
Fudge.
Oh, God.
And that's where we're in the episode.
No.
Oh my gosh.
I've got one more zone of truth. If she zone of truths us again, I'm going to zone of truth her right back.
I have two counter spells ready.
Ooh, I have a polymorph ready on hand.
I've used all my magic apart from one spell.
You guys really need a long rest.
Yeah, I've just been detecting magic everywhere for funsies.
No. If she pulls
probably should have done
on
one
us.
Of those as a ritual.
Fudge.
How long does that last, by the way?
Detect magic.
10 minutes. Yeah.
10 minutes, I think.
It's probably run out by now.
Ten.
Nah, it's still there. Still there, David.
It's still there.
Still there.
It'll still be there in episode 61. Please tell me it'll still be there in 61.
No.
Oh.
No. You have been listening to David Knight as your Dungeon Master, Ben Galpin as Orin, Chris Watts as Gaius, Daryl Bailey as Enkidu, Grace Kelly Miller as Gwendolyn, and Vicky Gaskin as Juna. Original music by David Knight. Please tell your friends, subscribe, and follow us on all social media. Thank you for listening to No Small Roles. Anon for now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.